2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Ton, our next listener says, does Rhodiola rosea grow in Salt Lake? They say they didn't see it up at Red Butte.
Well, Red Butte's a great garden, and so they probably don't have absolutely everything.
You think?
Yes. So, I mean, it's a great resource. I've been seeing more and more texts.
I don't think they meant it that way, though, by the way.
Yeah, I've been seeing more and more texts about it over the last two or three years. I think it's one of those, and I don't mean this in a really demeaning way or anything, but a kind of a trendy medicinal herb that, you know, every few years you hear about something new coming. And it's supposed to, I think, help relieve fatigue. The reading I've done on it says that there's not a lot of hard research yet saying yes or no if it will. Hmm. It's a perennial, and it'll grow in England, Siberia. And so I suspect it would do okay because it's a member of the brassicas, which are like broccoli and the cauliflower cabbage, but there's also many other plants that are ornamentals that we grow with, the sun basket or the basket of gold is another one that's a member that does quite well. And so if you could find seed, it would probably do okay, but I would be cautious. It's new enough that I don't want it to get out of control or something, so I'd put it in an area that you could control it if you needed to. And it's one of those I can't say absolutely yes, but just looking at its history, it might.
So is it one of those that is worth planting if you're not going to use it for any sort of medicinal purposes?
You know, I'm getting a little bit of the squeamishness because it looks just in appearance a lot like white top, which is another brassica family.
Which takes over, right?
It takes over everything. Right. And I can't, just because of the appearance, I can't say that it will do that. But because it doesn't have a track record, it's one that I would be cautious with.
Okay, our next listener says, can they remove the white tree wrap yet? And do you have a recommendation for a medium to large evergreen tree?
They can remove the tree wrap, yes. And so as far as a medium to big evergreen, a lot of that depends on the look you're going for. And so if I just had to throw out a couple of trees that were among my favorites, one of them is Serbian spruce. The other one is Serbian spruce is one of my favorites. A lot of the cultivars have kind of a blue-green needle to them. Mm-hmm. But then there's many other really pretty trees. Bosnian pine is something that gets 25 to 30 feet tall that's more medium. You know, there are many out there, but Bosnian pine has a pretty good track record along with, it's less common, but Serbian spruce seems to do quite well.
Okay, next listener would like to know, how would you smooth out and flatten a bumpy lawn? They say that they've heard that rolling is not recommended.
It's not. I have a picture somewhere of somebody in Logan steamrolling their lawn, which would compact the soil.
Why? Oh, whoa. That's
I need
dramatic.
To see if I can dig that up again.
That seems very extreme.
It is.
Did it work?
apparently it did. Not okay. In a good way, though. I mean, it did flatten it, but it did probably do a lot of damage.
Oh.
So during the winter, because the ground freezes and ice expands as it freezes, you get what's called frost heaving. And you'll get a lot of really unevenness to where chunks of the soil have pushed together and heaved. But as the ground thaws, some of that will go away with rain and irrigation. But the only thing we can really recommend, depending on how, you know, if it's just little divots everywhere, that's really tough to deal with. And you can try using something like a dethatching blade on your mower set low enough so that it destroys the peaks on a lot of the bumps. But the other thing you can do is get sand at a quarter inch at a time once a month, and then just put sand into the low spots, let the grass grow through it, and keep doing that.
Next listener would like to know, is it okay to aerate now or wait until the grass is actively growing?
You really need to wait until the grass is actively growing. I mean, it would recover, but it would also do a lot of damage.
Okay. When do you prune a plum tree?
Now. Now is the time to prune stone fruits. If you don't have your apples and pears done, get those done too.
Okay, because they say they've heard that they need to wait till after it blooms.
No, nope.
Wrong information.
Wrong information. You are plums, any stone fruits, you prune in mid-March.
Okay, next listener says they live in a 55-plus community. They've planted ortho daylilies next to the front foundation on the north side. Definitely not enough sun there, and they're ugly. Any suggestions for replacing them?
Well, it sounds like spell check got them. I suspect that there's Stella de Oro daylilies.
Oh, don't you love that? It says ortho very clearly.
Ortho, I was like, that's a chemical company.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And so it's got to be Stella de Oro.
I haven't heard of everything, so, you know.
If they want to take them out, there are a number of perennials that would do well there. One of them is Siberian bug loss.
Okay, and that doesn't need as much sun?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. The Siberian bug loss has two or three names, but they will be variegated. Jack Frost is one of the varieties. It's quite pretty. So they have blue flowers in the spring, and then with that variegated foliage, it's more of a foundation plant that you can cover a foundation with. It's easy. Japanese anemone is another one that does really well. Crytalis. I'm trying to remember the common name on Crytalis. But the Crytalis has yellow flowers in the spring and again in the fall. Man, there's so many of them. Columbine would be another one. Lupins, perennial geraniums.
Okay. We have a lot of choices there. Frank is on the line in Spanish Fork. Good morning, Frank. What is your question?
My question is about those little black gnats that live in your plants. And this year they're just very infestated and they go over to the windowsills and they're just everywhere. What can I spray on the plant and the dirt themselves that won't harm the plant?
Well, so you're talking your house plants?
House plants, yes.
They're fungus gnats and they also could be shore flies, but if you have them everywhere, it's a sign that the plants are being overwatered. And so, unfortunately, there isn't a spray that just gets rid of them. You can try putting some of those yellow sticky cards near the plants and tapping on them to see how many you can get to land on the sticky cards. But longer term, the solution is to make sure that the plants have drainage. So do you have the plants on top of some, you know, do the plants sit in a like a well at the bottom with standing water? Do you have them elevated so that they drain out?
Right. What if I put all the plants in the garage one night when it's going to freeze? Would that kill the gnats but not the plants?
It would kill it all. The cure's worse than the...
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. So it's one of those things that it's going to take a number of weeks, but if the fungus gnats are that bad, they're probably a lack of drainage in the plants, and then they're being overwatered. And so you need to...
Right. Now, what is this sticky thing you're talking about?
So the sticky cards aren't really a solution, but they will maybe help diminish the numbers a little bit. And you can pick up...
Where do you get that, or how do you make it up?
Well, you can get them from Steve Regan. Sometimes you can order them off Amazon and then you just put it next to the plants. Now, like I said, you need to dry the plants out. There isn't an instant solution to getting rid of these. And if the plants are continually overwatered, it could be that they become disease prone and a lot of other problems show up. And so if you have fungus gnats show up, it's a sign that there's problems with irrigation.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your call, Frank. Next listener is, they said their lawn is trashed from last summer. They want to know when they can start reseeding.
They can put seed down now, but if it's trashed from like snow mold, they're going to have to rake off the areas that are the worst so that they have contact with the soil and then put that seed down while it's still cool. Today would be a perfect day to do some of that renovation if it's dry enough. Put the seed down and then let next week's rain and snow water it in.
They say there is moss that has cropped up in the bare areas. What's up with that?
It's just cool weather.
Sorry.
As it warms up, as long as the lawn's not being overwatered, it should go away.
Okay, let's go to Pablo in Harriman. Good morning, Pablo. What is your question?
Good morning. First, just want to say love the show.
Thank you.
Lurker, but this is my my first post here. So a few years ago, I had some hydro seed put down in a new backyard in Harriman. The soil's a little bit different in Harriman. For whatever reason, it didn't take. I've had plenty of water, put some fertilizer down. And every year I'm trying to kind of bring it back. It just grows in very sparse. So there's definitely growth there, but it's just not filling out. Two-part question. I'm wondering, what can I do to try and kind of get it re-going? When should I fertilize? When should I seed?
So the first thing I do is test the soil in the area, because there are areas of Harriman that have salty clay soil, and these areas could have that, which would tell you a lot of information about why the grass isn't establishing. And so I would collect 2 measuring cups of soil from that area, and what you can do is just get a small bucket and collect a half or 3/4 of a cup from 4 or 5 places and mix it so you have a composite sample, and then mail 2 cups worth in a plastic baggie to the USU soil lab. And so if you go to the website, just the word usual.usu.edu, get the routine test. And then I think it's like $26 or something. And they'll tell you the pH and the salinity levels and phosphorus and potassium levels. But that is the first place I would start, because when I have seen this in the past, you oftentimes either have nutrient deficiencies, like P and K, or is really salty, and you might need to vary the kind of grass that you're trying to grow. So that's one thing. And then the next one is do you know if those areas, the soil is really clay and compacted?
So we actually brought in a lot of fill dirt because it's kind of up against the mountain. I don't think it's super clay. We did put sod on the first half of the yard, and all of that sod took. It's growing in really nicely. It's just the area where we tried to do the hydro seed.
Okay. So what I would do is get some of that soil, because if it happened to be salty, the salts can leach up through. So that's what I would do, is collect some soil samples and just eliminate it as a possibility. And then otherwise, and you said it's on a slope?
No, that part is completely flat.
Okay, it's completely flat. That would be the first step, is to figuring out if the soil is the problem.
Awesome.
So
well,
otherwise, you can reseed any time, and then you can also fertilize starting sometime in mid-April.
All right, Pablo, thanks for your call this morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. David, you will be up next. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text your questions at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255. Text us 57500. Back to our phone lines. David is in Ogden. Good morning, David. What is your question?
Good morning. I've been enjoying listening to your program for years.
Thank you, David.
This is the first time trying to call. I've got a comment, and then I'll ask you a couple of questions if I could. I've used some of that powdered bug killer that I got for the garden on those gnat things that somebody was talking about. I don't know if that's carting to hoil or not to do that, but it killed them.
Yeah, I think the problem we were running into is those powders and things are, the one you're using is registered for outdoor use, and a lot of them are not registered for houseplant use. And so there is a product called Natrol, G-N-A-T-R-O-L, that you can get on Amazon that's a soil drench that will kill the larvae, or at least it's supposed to. And it's hit and miss, and I should have mentioned that earlier, but that Natrol is something you can get on Amazon. He could try that and see how it goes. But the bigger problem is the irrigation, because if those fungus gnats are going everywhere, there's too much water.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if it was technically good to do that, but I just grabbed it and used it. But,
yeah.
Anyway, my question is, I've got a couple if I could. Last fall, I had a sweet cherry 100, I think it was, in a 5-gallon bucket. And I moved it in the house before it froze last fall by my south patio window sliding door type setup. And it's been doing great. The tomatoes that was on it last fall ripened up, and we had them clear into December or January or whatever.
Okay, but then I'm jealous. When they were Let me just say gone, that. Okay, go on.
Oh, sorry. When they were all gone, then it started blooming after about 2 or 3 weeks or so, and my wife pollinated them, you know, with a brush or whatever, and so we've got a couple of ripe tomatoes on it again now, plus a bunch of green ones. And what I was thinking of doing is taking it back outside when it's warm enough. Do you think it would grow and do good the rest of the summer?
I do. It's something that eventually you may need to transplant into a larger bucket. But yeah, you can take it back out. You may want to transition it to where you take it out into a shaded spot for a few hours, and then the next day for a half day, the next day for a full day. Then you expose it to a few hours of outdoor sun, and over 5 to 7 days, just kind of transition it. But it would be okay.
Well, I could plant it. I've got two gardens. I'm in a condominium, and I've got two garden places. One that's a little bit under 2 feet and a little under 4 feet long between the sidewalk and my back patio slab cement, and then I've got another one that's from the end of the sidewalk to the end of the building that's about 4x8, so I could transplant that into that one spot in the 4x8 place and see how it does. It's up over 5 feet now.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing you could do is, if you wanted to plant that one outside, just take, you know, all the soil out of the bucket, make sure that it's washed, and then put more soil in there and plant a new tomato, get another patio tomato, bring it inside for the year and keep that process up. You could do that too.
Oh, okay. Well, my tomatoes is usually done really well, but last year with all the heat and everything, they didn't do very good. Didn't get very many off them, but I've had trouble with my peppers. I put them on the south side so that they're not shaded by the tomatoes, but I've never been able to get them to do very good. They just, you know, stay quite small, and I have some peppers on them, but they don't get big plants and big peppers, and that I didn't know if I was using enough fertilizer, like some steer manure or horse manure or whatever that would get them to do better?
Well, make sure they have a lot of sun, and I would plant them in a new location just away from where you've grown in tomatoes and other plants so that they have a good shot. And I would plant them instead of every 18 inches, maybe every 6 inches.
All right. We're running short of time. I want to get to Stephen before we get to the top of the hour. Good morning, Stephen. What is your question this morning?
I bought a Christmas cactus around December 1st, and it bloomed the week of Christmas. But since then, it has bloomed 3 more times. How do I take care of the plant?
Well, it can't tell that Christmas is over.
It
no.
loves wherever
yes.
you have it.
Wherever
first
you have
of all,
it.
So leave it there.
So what's happening is when it's below 50 degrees on the side exposed to a window, it induces more bud production. And you keep spinning that plant 180 degrees every 6 to 8 weeks, and you can keep them blooming all winter. So this summer, I would just water it every 5 to 7 days or however often it needs it. Get some houseplant fertilizer and follow the instructions so that it has sufficient energy over the summer, and then it should bloom quite nicely again the next winter.
All right. Stephen, thanks so much for your call this morning. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. You can call us following the break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We have 10 seconds. Ton, is it a good time to plant beets and onions?
Technically, yes, but I would watch the weather. If it doesn't stay in the mid-50s, I would maybe give it another week.
All right. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.